My dad had a desire to tell the world of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That continues to be our purpose here at CWH. Today, Dad speaks on the burdens we cannot share and the burdens that should be shared. We hope today's sermon will be of assurance to you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And as I say every time we start a service, I am just so excited about coming here and being with you and going out to all of these different homes and places and wherever you live, and even to the truck drivers. And oh, it's just wonderful. And we're talking about Jesus, beautiful, beautiful, wonderful Jesus. And today we're going to be thinking about burden bearing, how that we have burdens for us to carry, and we should help others with their burdens. So I hope you stay and just listen in for what the Holy Spirit's going to tell us. Well, I want to read some of the letters. We get so many nice letters. And the first one is from Houston, Texas. And they write, I am a Christian and I try to watch a Christian worship hour every Saturday. I thank God for you and your warm and loving style of good old-fashioned preaching. Thank you for preaching Jesus. Your broadcast each week blesses me and speaks to my heart. And so he's talking about old-fashioned preaching. At 97, that's all I can do is that old-time preaching. And that old-time preaching is filled with the Bible, that wonderful Bible. But I'm an old-timer. Yes, I'm an old-timer. You know, I not only go back another generation, I go back to a whole century, a different century. And here I am telling you about the wonderful Jesus. So we thank you for this letter. Here's a letter from Witsia, Victoria, Australia. Greetings from Kingdale, Australia. I watch your program on the Daystar channel and find you to be a humble, honest ministry. Best regards and thank you. Well, that's exactly right. We are just plain everyday people. I'm a farm boy, used to herd sheep out for my dad, and I never got that out of me, so that's exactly right. We're just everyday people. And so they write, and you know, this Victoria, Australia, is 9,169 miles away. And isn't that wonderful? We can carry the gospel there and worship with them. These are the people of God. Working with the Lord Jesus Christ, worshiping with us. And so we just rejoice in that. Here's another one from Oskaloosa, Kansas, and writes from a prison. I am a believer and a disciple, a women's prison. I am a believer and disciple of the Lord Jesus. I have seen your ministry on the television on Sundays. Would like to request your Bible study, a new song to be sent to me, and your video to my mother, Heart of a Shepherd. I have been in the Jefferson County Jail since February 1st. Blessings and thank you, God's girl. And so here she is, here's a Christian lady. She's in prison for some reason, and she wants the new song. Now, the new song is a little paper we put out every month. And this month, the papers are by our Bible studies on the harvest is great. The harvest is great, and what are we going to do about it? And I'll tell you how to get it. You get your pencil and paper and everything, and at the close of the service, I'll give you the address because we'd like to hear from you. And she wants to know if we'd send a video to her mother. And the Heart of a Shepherd. The Heart of a Shepherd is an hour film that we just put out. And it's about a 10-year-old boy accepted Jesus, and then he preached to the whole world. And so, and it's a wonderful way of salvation, coming to Jesus. Even the children can understand. And we'll tell you how you can get them, too, at the end of the service. So don't go to sleep and get your pencil and paper, because you probably won't remember it all. And then here's one more we want to share, and this is from Champlin, Minnesota. Thank you for the DVD, Heart of a Shepherd. It's a true testimony of God's faithfulness, mercy, and love. I'm going to share it with a friend who is lost and needs to know Jesus. That's exactly what we want you to do. We want you to get your friends that don't know Jesus and bring them in to visit and show the film. or let them have a film. And if you'll give it to somebody that doesn't know Jesus, we'll send you another free one to make up for it. So you'll always have your own. And because what we want to do with this film, The Heart of a Shepherd, is we want people to hear the gospel, hear about Jesus, and a strong emphasis on evangelism. Open your heart to Jesus. Ask him into your life. And even the children can understand. I was 10 years old when I accepted Jesus, and I remember it as though it was last night, and it's 87 years. But that wonderful Savior, I didn't hear bells and whistles and lights or anything else. I just took God at his word, and I had a peace, and I've been thankful to Jesus. And the longer you walk with him, the better you'll know him, and then he becomes more real as time goes by. So we hope that you'll write to us. And so you just get ready. I'll talk about that later. But I want to get into my sermon. Can't wait to get into my sermon. And our sermon today, we're going to look at two statements dealing with burdens. And it's in the book of Galatians. Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse 2. Bear ye one another's burdens. And then Galatians 6, verse 5. Every man shall bear his own burden. At first reading, you may wonder if there isn't a contradiction here. But not to worry, not to worry. God has no contradictions in the Bible, not a single one. And if you have somebody running around, yapping around that there's a kind of contradiction, it's because he hasn't studied the Bible or he's just looking for trouble. That's what it is. God says that one God spoke through a lot of different people by the direction of the Holy Spirit. And there are no contradictions in the Word of God. Mark it down. Well, so then this wonderful statement says two things. Bear ye one another's burdens. Everyone shall bear their own burden. And the reason is simply this. In the first statement, is bear one another's burdens. That's the social burdens. That's the burdens of life in society where we help each other. And then where it says everyone shall bear his own burden, they're talking about our individuals. As an individual, I have some burdens that I have that I can't give away to anybody. And so the Bible's just talking about two different kinds of burdens, the ones that others can carry and that we can help them, and the ones that we have to carry alone. So let's look first of all at the burdens that we cannot share, can't share it with other people. And the first burden is that of individuality. That is, no man liveth unto himself. The scripture says, and that's true, that no man lives to himself. By that I mean, regardless of whoever relationship we have with others, he never ceases to be himself. I am who I am. And when I have the Lord Jesus as my Savior, I'm a new creation in Christ. And so then I have the Holy Spirit within me. And I have that new nature. But the old nature is there to beat me down, see? And so I be the best man I can. And that means I'm not going to be perfect. And I'm never going to be perfect until I get to heaven. But I strive to be perfection. I strive to be like Jesus. And so you read about Jesus and you study his life and you try to be like him, see? And when we get to heaven, and so we'll be all together rejoicing and we'll all be perfect. And so if you sin, you just ask Jesus he says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, he'll forgive us. And you say, yeah, but I did that several times. Well, why don't you try maybe 50,000 times? Because God says, my grace is sufficient for thee. He says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And there's forgiveness with the Lord. And if you drifted away, come back. Come right now and say that prayer. Make it right with God. So we're talking about the individual. We never cease to be ourselves. And you see, for instance, my thoughts. I can't share my thoughts. Well, I can tell you what I'm thinking, but I have thoughts that go through my mind that are all mine and mine alone. Or maybe we have pain, like St. Paul. He had a thorn in the flesh. Yeah, that pain, he couldn't give that to his neighbor. It was his pain and it was his to carry. Others could encourage him and sympathize with him. We're going to talk about that. But it's just something that he has and he has it all to himself. We have dreams about certain things. Man, we have dreams about some wonderful things for our family, for our neighborhood, for our church. And maybe we have some good thoughts, and they're all ours. And then what about the heartache? What about the heartache? Something happens in your life. You lose a loved one. You have something turn against you. And you have that old heart, and it's aching and it's hurting. That's all for you. You can't give it to anybody. It's yours and yours alone. And so from this point of view, I want to say this. We live alone. We battle alone. We suffer alone. We agonize alone. And finally, we die alone. And so it has the burden of individuality. And then there's another burden, and that is the burden of responsibility, where we are told that God, the Bible tells us, we are our brother's keeper, and we are to help each other, and that is a responsibility. And you don't say, well, isn't that no skin off of my hand? I don't care what happens to him. Yes, you are. Well, you remember the story of the Good Samaritan? Whoever's in need, that's your brother. You need to help them and encourage them. Do all you can. And you can't run away from that. It's responsibility that God has given you. I can't give the response. God given me a responsibility to preach the gospel and other responsibilities. I can't give them away. They are mine. And I'm going to use them to the glory of God. And so many times we become selfish. And we just think of ourselves and live for ourselves. Walter B. Knight tells a story of a wealthy man. And he lived it way back at the turn of the century, many, many years ago in the 1800s. And his name was Charles N. Crittenden. And he was a very successful businessman. And he had over $500,000. And in those days, that was a ton of money. He was a very rich man for his day. And then in his life comes a sorrow. And his beautiful little daughter, 4 years old, and then little taken away, little Florence, God takes that little baby, that little girl home, 4 years old. And this man, Crittenden, is heartbroken. And one night when he was riding home on one of the elevated trains, and he saw all of the little lights and saw all the little homes and all the little apartments, and there came a question to his heart. And he thought with his eyes were blinding with tears. He thought of that dear little Florence of his. And then he thought to himself, what am I doing to help other little girls? What am I doing to help their life? They're a person too, and they have a soul too. And the next year, he gave $10,000, which is $100,000 now or more. And he gave it to help fallen girls in the city of Chicago. And the next year, he gave $11,000. And then he sold all that he had, and he took up a ministry of helping fallen girls. That's the responsibility that he had. Here was a man, he lived to himself until God touched his life, and he saw the needs of others, and he saw his responsibilities, and so he had to step out. And he had to help. He had to do it because the Holy Spirit talked to him, and he's following the leading of the Holy Spirit. No one can. So you see, dear friends, there are certain things we have all to ourselves. No one can confess my sins for me. No one can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for me. No one can call on the name of the Lord Jesus for salvation of my poor lost soul but me. No one can fill the area of service and works that God has set out for me. There's a plan for my life, work for my life. No one can help carry the burdens of others that has not been designated as my fair share. And no one can stand alone in that dreadful day, that day of reckoning and judgment for me. I must stand all alone when I face my God, my wonderful God. But oh, it won't be very wonderful for some people, those who refuse to receive Jesus and those who refuse to answer the call of their heart and those who live for themselves instead of helping other people. And then I want to tell you one more thing that's all mine. My sins that I commit are my own. I wish I could wish them on someone else. I wish I could give them to somebody else, but no, no, they are mine. Some people try to blame their sins on their parents. I bet I've heard it off 500 times in my all of my years for the Lord, walking with the Lord, 75 years. They blame it on their parents. Here they are, they're old toddling people in their house, and their parents have been gone for 50 years, and they blame it on their parents. It won't wash with God. When you meet God Almighty, you're going to settle for your own sins. And those sins are all to your own. And it tells us we're going to stand before God in the judgment, and you won't be hiding behind anybody else. In Hebrews 4:13, the Bible tells us, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. No, the sins we commit are our own. So that's what we're talking about when we talk of our burdens. Now we want to talk about the burdens that we can help and to help people, burdens that we should share with other people in their walk with life. It says, bear ye one another's burdens. There is a loneliness to life that is sure, but somewhere we have somebody to help us. And if you have just one good, loyal friend, a friend that you can open your heart to and really believe in and trust in, thank God for that. Not many friends like that. But if you have that friend, you stay close to that friend. And let me tell you, too, there isn't a place on the face of the earth where somebody doesn't need that friendship, that fellowship, that sense of somebody caring, that love of Christ that was shown abroad in our heart, and that love of Christ that shares with others who are lonely and separated and hurting and bewildered and maybe even don't even know Jesus, and they're on their way to hell, and they need somebody to come to them and help them and stand with them and bless them. There's the ministry then, as we work with these people, the ministry of caring and ministering. You see that brother, and you see that sister, you see that young person just now overtaken in a sin. They've fallen, and they've fallen from grace, we call it, and they're into sin. Now, you that are spiritual, Paul writes, and he says, you that are spiritual, we all like to think we're spiritual, don't we? And if you're a Christian, you are spiritual, but the degrees, oh boy, is there a wide range of that, how spiritual people are. But ye that are spiritual, restore such a one to faith. God instructs us, then there's a ministry of bearing the burdens of others, burdens that threaten to destroy them. And here they are. Once they love the Lord, once they travel with the Lord, walk the straight and narrow way, and well, now they've drifted. And God says, you go and you win them back. You be their friend and go in love. Never go judgmental on them. You could have been the same thing. Maybe your sins are even worse than some of these people. And so don't go with a high mind. You go in humble heart. I'm a sinner saved by grace. And dear brother, dear sister, God loves you and he wants you to come back. See, sympathize and love them. And there's this wonderful sympathy, too, as we talk with other people. We think about how that people are hurting, and we hurt with them. And like one little girl, she went to help a neighbor because the neighbor had lost her husband, and her neighbor's gone to be with the Lord. And the little girl went and talked to her neighbor the best she could, and then she came home, and the neighbor came over and told the little girl's mother, that little girl meant more to me than anybody else. I'll tell you what she did. She got on my lap and she gave me a hug. And she said she loved me and she was sympathizing with me. That little girl. And that's what we need to be doing. If you look around, I'm going to tell you, you're going to find out there's a lot of failures and there's a lot of people hurting. And we can help give them a hand. And just tell them, I know how you feel, or I've fallen too. And here you can come back and tell them the wonderful story I read a man a story about Rutherford, and Mark Rutherford, and he was so disheartened and bewildered that he wanted to take his life. He didn't think he was any more value. He thought it was useless. Even his very best friends thought he was useless, that it was something terrible. And then God sent a woman, a chosen vessel, to help him bear his burden. And very tenderly and skillfully, she guided his thoughts to be more sober and healthy in his outlook on life. And she brought him around to that, once again placed his confidence and trust in God and renewed his faith in the Lord Jesus. She actually brought Rutherford back to a fruitful, productive life. Rutherford was indebted to her the rest of his days, and it was out her thinking and her caring and her thoughts and her sympathy that his life was restored, a good, strong life again. And Rutherford said this, "I should like to add one more beatitude to those of the gospel and to say, blessed are they who heal us of our self-despisings." That's part of bearing the burdens of others and helping the burdens of others. We should share these things, but of all things, share Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. And that's what we have in this chapter, in the sixth chapter of Galatians. In verse 14, they talk about the cross of the Lord Jesus. In verse 17, they talk of the marks of the Lord Jesus. In verse 18, the grace of the Lord Jesus. And then look at Psalm 55, verse 22. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, he shall sustain thee." What a marvelous, wonderful promise of God. Give your burdens to Jesus. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. How are your burdens today, dear friend of mine? Well, how's that kind of burden that you just share with no one, that you have it all to yourself, you know which way to turn? Jesus says, "Come to me. Come to me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me, and I receive you." And I'm going to tell you, when you read that Bible, you read about Jesus, you never read about Jesus ever turning anybody away. We read about those who turn Jesus away, but he never turned anyone away, not a single one. Ruth Gibbs Zwall has a beautiful poem entitled "The Parable of Tomorrow," and it goes like this. "I looked at the mountain. It's too hard, Lord. I said, I cannot climb it. Take my hand, he whispered. I will be your strength. I saw the road. It's too long, Lord. I said, it's so rough and it's so long. Take my love, he answered. I'll guide your feet. I looked at the sky and the sun is gone. I said, already it grows dark. Take the lantern of my word, he whispered. That'll give you light enough. We climbed. The road was narrow and steep, but the way was bright. And when the thorns reached out, they found his hand before they touched mine. And when the path grew rough, I knew it was his love that kept my feet from stumbling. And then I grew tired, and I can go no farther, Lord. I said, I can go no farther. And he said and answered, the night is gone. Look up, my child. And I looked up, and it was dawn. Green valleys stretched below. I can go on alone now, I said. And then I saw the marks. Lord, thou hast wounded thy hands, they are bleeding. Thy feet are bruised. Was it for me? And he whispered, I did it gladly. Then I fell at his feet. Lord, lead me on. I cry, no road is too long, no valley is too deep, if thou art with me. We walk together now, and we shall walk together forever. And that's what we can give to these people that are suffering and hurting and down and out. We can give them a wonderful message of Jesus, who said, come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. You have that wonderful Savior's knocking at the heart's door. I want to come into your life and I want a blessing to help you. And what do? You say, oh, Jesus, I am a terrible sinner and I ask you to come into my heart and take away my sins. And Jesus, I'll turn from my sins the best way I can. And thank you. I'll make you the Lord of my life. Thank you, Jesus. And if you pray that prayer, he'll come into your heart and your life. And if you prayed that prayer, and I know there are multitudes, you write to us. We'll send you literature wherever you are. Write to us at the Christian Worship Hour, Post Office Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can get us on our website. We can get us on our website, ChristianWorshipHour.com. If you want to have the little Bible study, our great harvest, you write about just new song. If you want to have the heart of a shepherd, and if you can send a gift. If you can't, we'll send it free. And then remember this. We are a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books, and whatever you send will go to the preaching of the gospel. And we need your help. We need your prayers, and we need your help. And I pray that you'll take it right and write it down right now and write it to us, and we'll carry on the gospel. Now, I want to pray for you. And in our prayer, we always pray for the persecuted church. And we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Kuwait. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Savior, the wonderful Savior who is not willing that any should perish, but all should come unto you. Bless the multitudes that are coming right now. And Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Kuwait. Some of them are dying, and some of them are destitute, and some of them are hurt from being persecuted. Oh, dear God, help them to know that we're praying for them and we love them, and we're standing for Jesus, and we're stronger Christians because of their life. Bless them. Be with those who are on beds of sickness. Help those who are shut-ins. Be with the young people in their decisions of life, and the children, the beautiful children. Help them to come to Jesus. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. So now you got to write to us if you want us to carry on. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. Or you can send a gift on ChristianWorshipHour.com. So we're only incomers from God's people, so we're counting on you. And we want you to know this and never forget it. God loves you. He hates your sin, but God loves you. And the Christian Worship Hour loves you. And God knows that I love you. And I'm doing my best to try to tell you to come to Jesus. And don't put it off. The devil will say, wait. And you say, no, I'm coming to Jesus now, and nobody can stop me. And if you do that, you're a child of God, and we'll see each other in heaven. So God bless you. God bless you, everyone.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. If you would like to learn more about having a relationship with Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, click the encouragement link on our website at cwh.org. You may also stream more programs, subscribe to our monthly newsletter, and view Pastor Salem's devotions and answers. We would be most grateful if you would pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel. God bless you.